as you know, in a long time that we've been together, and so it's good to be able to say good morning and or welcome and hear people say something back. It's good to see you all. I've gotten used to, over these past 4 months, I've gotten used to preaching and speaking into a camera, which is still back there, by the way, and I want to say hello to our folks who are watching this either live on the website or maybe some folks will watch it later in the week, but welcome. We're grateful to those of you who are tuning in that way. But I've gotten used to speaking to a camera, and now I've got to get used to speaking to a bunch of face masks. So, but I recognize most of you. There are a couple of you, when you first walked in, I thought, who is that person? I just see the top of your head. But we're grateful that you're here today, and thank you for being a part of this time of worship, whether here in the room or at home. We're grateful that you're a part of this today. So things will be a little bit different, and we'll try to explain as we go along some of those differences. Some you can already see in the room around you. Some things we're trying to keep the same as they were before, and hopefully that will be okay too, but we may need to make adjustments as we go through the weeks ahead. One thing I want to say to you, you notice you've got bulletins in the pew where you sat down, and hopefully no one is sitting in a pew that was marked closed. You also have communion supplies sitting there. Don't worry about those yet. I'll explain that as we go through the service later on. But in the bulletin, as we have always done, a communication card. And if you'd like to fill that out, but this is one of those places where you might think, oh, I don't want to touch that, or I don't want to touch the pencil sitting in front of me. And that's fine. Just don't. But if you'd like to, you can fill out the communication card. There's a place for prayer needs on the back. And then this can be placed in the offering later in the service. The offering will look a little different too, and we'll explain that when we get to it as well. This service today, and we had made this decision several months ago, that the first Sunday we got back would be our Easter service, because we didn't get to come together on Easter morning this year. And so as you look through the order of service, this is sort of our Easter celebration today that we missed back in April. So Easter music and the sermon I'll be preaching and the passage I'll be preaching from will also be Easter themed. So you can look forward to that, and we're excited to be able to celebrate together. You see that we've marked off every other pew to kind of spread folks out, and as much as you can, it'd be great if you can sit just with the people that you drove to church with and not mix with other families. I see everybody wearing a face mask, which is great. Thank you for doing that. I hope that's comfortable for you and that you can keep it on for 45 minutes or an hour, or however long we're here. I'll wear mine when I'm down here on the floor in front of you, but I am going to preach without it on, if that's okay with everybody. And we will have singers today, which we're very excited about. Keith and April will be up front to sing, although we are still in this phase of wanting limited congregational singing. And so when we get to that point, we're not going to ask you to stand and sing along. But if you mouth the words inside your mask, no one will know. God will know. And that's the important thing. So you can worship in that way. I want to share a couple of other announcements, too. Vida Eterna, the Spanish-speaking church plant with Mario and Patty Torres, they are going to start this afternoon having their first public services as well with the group they've been gathering. So they'll be coming in Sunday afternoons around 1 o'clock for prayer, and Mario's going to preach, and they'll have a little bit of worship as they begin building toward what will eventually, we hope this fall, to be full worship services as they continue to grow the church plant and, of course, given the situation in the world around us. And then an announcement for our congregation on July 19th, so 2 weeks from today, we will have our congregational meeting that we had to postpone from back in May. So if you're here and you can stay right after worship to be a part of that meeting, should be a fairly quick meeting, but we'll do that right here in the sanctuary after worship on July 19th. So those are the announcements. And again, welcome. Thanks for being with us today as we join together for worship. And we're going to begin something we haven't done during our online service times, but we're going to begin with a call to worship. And so this is an opportunity for you to join with your voices together as we read God's Word. This is from Psalm 108. I'll begin, and I'll invite you to follow with the congregation lines. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Amen. Thank you.
Reading from Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are here looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet, filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, and go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me."
Well, we are going to stay far enough away, but we are going to sing without masks on. And we do invite you to sing along in your head or quietly behind your mask. And as we celebrate the risen Lord, so let's sing Alleluia.
For all people, alleluia,
As we continue to worship together, we're invited to worship through our giving. God is generous to us, and we desire also to be generous to Him. Now, as we collect the offering today, we are having ushers walk down the aisles, but they won't be passing the tray to you, so you can place your offering in, and then they'll move on to the next row, or if they need to step into one of the empty pews, they will, but please don't reach out and take the tray from them so that we don't contaminate by touching with more than one hand. So God is good, and we want to be good to Him. His Word tells us, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. So I want to thank you for your generosity and invite our ushers to come receive our gifts today. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious Father, we give you thanks today for the many good things that you bring us. And Lord, we rejoice that we can be back together again, that we can be here in the same room and lift up your name and worship and praise you. And Father, even as we do this, we might be feeling a little bit of anxiety because we've gotten out of this habit and because there is still certainly concern in our world and our nation over the virus that has affected so many. And so, Lord, we ask for your protection. We trust in you that as we worship you today, that you will guide and watch over us, that you will receive our praise. And, Lord, even if it's not the way we're used to it in some ways, we know that you are pleased when your people gather, that you receive the gifts that we bring you. You hear our prayers. You receive our worship, Lord, even if we're not singing very loud or even if we're not doing things the way we used to, Lord, we know that you see into our hearts and that you receive from us the joy that we bring, the faith and the gratefulness, the gratitude that we bring with us today. So, Father, I pray your blessing over all those who are here this morning. I pray that you would encourage us, give us hope, Lord, for a better future. Lord, there's been so much uncertainty and anxiety and turmoil in our world, some of it related to health or politics or just the uncertainty of living in a world that's changing. And so, Father, I pray for your peace to be with each one of us. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to receive from you the good things that you have for us, Lord. You are a God who blesses us and loves us, and I thank you that we can depend on you no matter what we face. Lord, we thank you for the celebration this weekend of the independence of our nation, the great freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you for the 4th of July and for the ways that that reminds us of the good things you bring us in this nation, Lord. Not perfect, but still a light to the world around us, a light of freedom and liberty and Father, we pray that you would continue to bless our nation, help us to be good, help us to be a force of good in the world. And Lord, for those times when we seem to be ununited and when there is strife even within our nation, I pray that you'd bring us peace, that you'd bring us unity. Help us to seek after you, Lord, and those things that you know are right and good for us. Father, we also pray for our church family today. We think of those first who aren't with us, maybe because they're not feeling well, maybe just they're not ready to come out in public yet. And I pray that you would encourage them and bless those who are at home today. Lord, we also think of those who are in need of your healing power and strength, even in the midst of the coronavirus, there are still other issues in this world, Lord. There are still other illnesses and concerns and worries. And so we lift up to you, Father Darlene, today, as she's still in need of your peace and your comfort in her life. We think of Bud and Pat, who've been experiencing some changes in their living condition, and just pray that you would encourage both of them, give them peace and rest. Father, we also pray for Anders and ask that you would bless and encourage him, bring him healing, be with Arlene as well, and help them to trust that you're watching over them during this time. So, Father, for all these things, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are a good God. And, Lord, as we remember Jesus' resurrection today, we give you thanks that we serve and belong to a risen Savior. So, Lord, receive our worship. I pray that you'd prepare us to hear and respond to your word. And, Lord, in all that we do, we ask your grace and your presence and your protection to be with us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
We are going to continue celebrating our risen Lord by singing He Lives.
So before today, our last Sunday together was March 8th. That's almost 4 months apart, 16 Sundays. And of course, that included Easter Sunday, that we couldn't be together. And that was true for just about every church in our country and all around the world. So back in April, as I said earlier, we decided that our first Sunday back together, we would make our Easter Sunday. And of course, we thought at the time that it would be, oh, maybe at the end of April or maybe the first Sunday in May. But here we are, the first Sunday in July, finally back together again. and we are celebrating Jesus' resurrection, which, of course, is not something we would normally do just once a year, right? Jesus' resurrection is the centerpiece of our faith, and so it's appropriate that we return to this story over and over again. We're also, though, celebrating today some renewal and restoration in the church, that we can be back together. We've been in sort of a tomb of isolation, if you don't mind me saying it that way, without any physical gathering for fellowship, without worshiping in the same time and place together, without sharing the communion meal, which we will be able to do again today. But now we rejoice that we can be together, that we can return also to this story of resurrection that defines our faith. It is the most important event in the history of the world, that Jesus rose again after his crucifixion. Now, before we read Jesus' resurrection, we need to go back just a little bit farther in the story to Good Friday. You can't return to somewhere you never left, right? You can't resume doing something that you never stopped doing. And so in that same spirit, we need to remember that Jesus had to die before he could rise again. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins. He chose to die for us. He had to endure rejection and betrayal and suffering. He had to experience the shameful weight of our sin being placed on him. He had to cry out as he hung on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus had to die. And then his lifeless body was taken from the cross, and he was wrapped in the burial cloth, and he was placed in the tomb, and a heavy stone was rolled in front of the entrance. That was Good Friday. That was the day that Jesus died. And so now we come to Sunday morning. So listen to the story again, this time from Mark chapter 16. "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You were looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.'" Life is full of ups and downs. We have good days, we have bad days, we have hard moments, we have joyful times. We have endured a lot of hard times lately, from the coronavirus to economic worries, to reminders of our nation's unjust treatment of African Americans. These days have been marked by worry, and by fear, by doubt, and I think also by grief. We grieve, of course, when someone we love dies. We know what that is. But we also grieve anytime we lose something that we value, or any time that we have to give up something that we enjoy, like being able to visit family and friends, or like being able to come to church to worship and have fellowship of seeing the people that you love. The three women who went to the tomb early that Sunday morning were grieving, right? In fact, that's exactly why they went there that day, isn't it? They went to prepare Jesus' body in a final ceremony, final ritual of burial with the spices they would use to anoint his body. That was what they did. That was part of the ritual of mourning in that culture. But they didn't go to the tomb by themselves. It wasn't just the three women who went there that morning. Even though I'm sure that as they walked along, that's how it felt. Because grief often makes us feel alone. But we believe God was walking with them that day. He was going there bringing them comfort. He was even helping them to carry that heavy load of emotional sorrow and grief. The bitter task that they went there to complete, I'm sure, was heavy on their minds. I think God was also beginning to whisper into their hearts the good news that the tomb was going to be empty, even though they didn't know it yet. And we need to hear good news today, too. That when we grieve, God walks with us. When we grieve, God is there walking alongside us. I think our whole nation has been grieving the last 4 months. It's often looked like fear or frustration, or even sometimes it's looked like anger, and maybe the grief that we've been feeling, we've been expressing in other ways. But I think at its root, we are grieving all the things we have lost. Loss of freedoms, loss of safety, the loss of fun things that we enjoy, and certainly also the loss of life. A lot of life has been lost. We each feel this grief maybe in different ways. You may know someone who has actually been ill. Maybe you know someone who's died, and you grieve for them. Or maybe you've lost your job, or you've lost income, or your family has been impacted financially through this time, and you grieve that. Maybe you've been separated from loved ones. I think to some degree we all have been. Not able to visit family, not able to see those who are maybe vulnerable in ways that you are or you aren't, but you grieve that you can't go and see people that you want to see. But none of us throughout these past 4 months, none of us throughout our lifetimes, we never experience grief alone, because God has promised that He will always be with us. His Holy Spirit is the comforter, is the one who sustains us and encourages us and helps us through these difficult moments. In fact, God made a promise long before Jesus was on the earth. In Isaiah 43, we read these words from God. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. As the women walked to the tomb that morning, their hearts were heavy with grief. And they also had a particular worry on their minds. They began asking each other, discussing who's going to roll the stone away from the tomb. And it wasn't that they were saying, are you going to do it or am I going to do it? Because even working together, all three of them couldn't do it. It was the stone that sealed up Jesus' tomb. A wheel of rock, maybe 6 feet tall, that was rolled probably using ropes and levers and big strong men in front of the tomb and then leaning up against the entrance. It was too heavy for any of them to move. That stone was an obstacle on their path. But even more than that, it was another worry in their hearts. They had watched Jesus die after a long day and night of suffering. They had seen Him taken from the cross and laid in the tomb. And then there were the long hours of grief from Friday evening until now Sunday early morning. And now there's another problem. Now there's another burden that they have to deal with. And sometimes we feel that way. It's just all too much, too many troubles, too many hardships, and then another worry rises up in your heart and you think, how am I going to deal with this now? One more thing. But again, there's good news for us. Because when we worry, God shows His mighty power. When we worry, God has strength that is beyond what we might believe or expect. The women must have been walking with their heads down, as you might imagine they were, weary and worried and sad. But then it says in verse 4, when they looked up, as they arrived near the tomb, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away by God's mighty power. By God's strength that was stronger than anything that they could have mustered. By God's mighty power, that stone was moved and that burden of worry in their hearts was suddenly lifted. At least the stone has been moved. What is the trouble that's in your heart today? What are the worries that you're carrying around? And maybe it's not just today, but weeks and months, maybe a worry that you've had in your heart for a long, long time. By faith, you can look up with hope and with expectation. You can trust in God's power to provide. You can believe that God is able to lift that burden. Scripture tells us that instead of worrying, we should pray. In fact, listen to these words from Philippians chapter 4. This is a very familiar verse, but I think it's worth repeating to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There have been a lot of worries. We've been carrying those for a long time now. But God wants us to turn to Him with those worries, to trust in His mighty power. When the women entered the tomb, after finding the stone rolled away, they looked inside in the early morning light and they were startled. It says they were alarmed because they saw inside the tomb a young man sitting across from where Jesus' body had been placed. If you can kind of picture this tomb, it surely wasn't large on the inside, carved out of the stone hillside there. And on one side, there would have been a little platform where Jesus' body had been placed. And there on the other side, maybe another platform, because as tombs were carved in those days, it could be used for a family. And so two places, two different bodies could be placed. But there opposite where Jesus' body had been placed, and they saw His body placed there, there was what they thought was a young man. And it says they were alarmed, that is, they were afraid. Maybe a better word, they were terrified. And for good reason, right? They had come to a cemetery. They were now peering into this dark tomb. The early morning, pre-dawn light just beginning to allow them to see anything. And suddenly they see this figure there. And in their minds, they must have thought, a ghost? A person? What are we seeing? Actually, it was an angel. It was a messenger from God, sent with a word of peace and joy. And the angel says first, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid, it's okay. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. He's not in a tomb. He's risen. And it's the greatest news that has ever been announced in all of human history, the whole history of the world. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And the women who went to the tomb that morning were the first to ever hear it, to know that wonderful good news that Jesus, our Savior, has risen. And He is alive forevermore. It's the good news that still echoes through the world today, especially in the church. Especially as we read this story again, as we rejoice in the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection gives us 1,000 different reasons to rejoice. Including this, that when we are afraid, God's Word gives us peace. No matter what you're afraid of today, no matter what fears are in your heart or your mind, God's Word is a source of strength and peace that God can send into your heart. Now, God may not send an angel to visit you. He might, but He may not. But what we have is God's Word that we can open and read anytime we want to. And there we have access to God's wisdom and God's truth and the peace that He wants to bring into our hearts written clearly for us to understand. Scripture speaks into our hearts, filling us with the good things God wants to give us, especially during difficult moments, especially when we're afraid, especially when we're grieving. God wants to give us that peace. There's a lot to fear in this world. 2020 has been a year filled with reasons to be afraid. And by the way, that's nothing new. I know what we're experiencing right now is new to us, but the world has endured pandemics before, and world wars, and famines, and political strife, and revolutions, and upheaval, and bad things have happened before. But God doesn't want His people to live in fear. In fact, He wants us to overcome fear through our faith, to trust in Him instead of giving in to the worry or the anxiety or the fear or the stress. And when we open up God's Word, we can find there a message of peace, that reassurance that God watches over us, that He knows the troubles that we face, and that He is stronger than anything that could ever oppose us. Let me read another passage to us that speaks to the strength that God brings us to endure the difficulties of our lives, a passage that I hope can bring peace to your hearts. This is Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Paul writing these words, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." And what a great promise that is, that right now Jesus is praying for you, that He's lifting you up and your concerns and your worries, and He's asking God to be with you. One more truth I want us to see in the resurrection story, and that is when we doubt, God proves His goodness and His love. When we doubt, our minds are filled with lots of doubts, aren't they? We doubt our own abilities. We doubt someone else's love for us. We doubt people's motives. And we may also doubt whether God will keep His promises. Sometimes it's hard for us to really deeply, truly, every moment believe in the things that God tells us. Will He really do what He said? Is His Word really true in my life? Can I really trust in God? The three women who went to the tomb that Sunday morning were not alone in their doubts. All of the disciples were struggling that day. They were the three that got up early to go to the tomb, but the angel mentioned Peter. There's also James and John and all the other disciples and many others who had put their trust in Jesus only then to watch Him die on the cross, and now they didn't know what to think, and they certainly weren't feeling very faithful in those moments. They couldn't believe what Jesus had said to them. Remember, Jesus had told them over and over again that He would rise again. But in the face of His death, they couldn't believe it. Their minds and their hearts were clouded by doubt. And so the angel said to the women at the tomb, go tell His disciples and Peter, He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him just as He told you. Just as He told you. Remember when He told you that? You can believe that it's true because Jesus doesn't lie. God always speaks the truth. All of His promises come true. And we know what happened next, right? They did go and see the risen Lord. And they met with Him face to face. And they shared meals with Him. And they rejoiced that He was in fact alive. And all of their doubts were erased by God's goodness and God's love that appeared to them in that dark moment. God is not afraid of your doubts. He knows that we need His help to believe and to trust. In fact, Jesus came to help us to overcome our doubts and to overcome our fears. And His resurrection proves that God's power is real in our lives, that His goodness comes to us when we need it, and that He loves us no matter what we face. This morning we're going to gather at the communion table. We're going to share this meal that we've not shared together now for a few months, but we're going to be reminded at the meal that God is good. That He sent His own Son to save us and to give us new life. And so as we come to the table today, we remember Jesus' death, but we also celebrate His resurrection. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to meet us in our grief, in our worry, in our fear, in our doubt. He came to save us from our sin by dying on the cross, paying the price that we could never afford by ourselves. And in this meal, we remember His death. But we also rejoice in His resurrection that gives us the hope of everlasting life. And so if you know that Jesus is your Savior, then you are welcome to join in this meal. Now, communion's going to look and feel a little bit different today. We're not going to have servers walking through the sanctuary. Instead, you should see right next to you on the pew a little bowl with these communion packets that were prepared for us, and they are safe and sanitary, and they were placed there actually at least a day ago, and so you can know that no one has touched this. But inside you will notice, and don't open it yet, but let me just give you a little bit of a heads up on how this works. You'll see that there's juice inside the cup, but on top there are actually two little tabs, one for the juice, and then on top of that, that might be a little hard, but a little cellophane cover that you will peel off, and inside is the bread above the cup of juice. And so when we get to that moment in our celebration of communion, I'll ask you first to peel off to find the wafer of bread inside, and then there's a second peel that you will need to pull back so that you can drink the juice. So hopefully we'll all be able to manage. And it's okay if you fumble a little bit, we'll get through it together. The Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Let me invite you to bow your heads and we will ask God's blessing over the meal. Father, we give you thanks today for this opportunity to share the communion meal together. And Lord, as we do, we confess our sins. We know that Jesus died to pay for those sins, to take away and to provide forgiveness for us. But Lord, we still confess that we are sinners. We fall short, Lord, of the things you have commanded us in your word, the things you've asked us to do, the things you've asked us not to do. Lord, sometimes we still give in to temptation. And so, Father, we confess our sin and ask for your forgiveness today. And we thank you that we know for sure your forgiveness is real because Jesus died and rose again. And so, Lord, I ask now your blessing over this meal. Lord, even as we receive it in a little bit new way today, we know that you are here with us. And we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Lord, we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to just take a moment, we'll have a little bit of music, just to prepare your hearts for the communion meal. Bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the cup that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Let me invite you first to open up the top peel to find the wafer of bread. The body of Christ broken for you. And then if you would open the cup as well. The blood of Christ shed for you. You can place your package back in the bowl so it can be picked up later. Let's pray again. Father, I give you thanks today for the many good things you bring us. We thank you that we were able to be together this morning and celebrate the meal and worship and hear your word. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to give you praise today and as we go throughout our days and the week ahead, help us, Lord, to worship you, to give you thanks, and also to tell the story of who Jesus is so that others can come to know that the Savior is calling them as well. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are going to close our time of worship this morning by singing one of the great hymns of the church, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. I want to thank you all for being with us for this time of worship. And I want to say a special thank you to Keith and April for singing and Nancy playing along. And they probably don't want me to say this, but Kent and Ryan are upstairs doing a lot of technical work for the service. Kent has been doing a great deal of work to get us not only to this point where we could be in the room, but also so those at home can still watch along. So thank you to everybody who's worked hard to keep us going during this time. So following the blessing, I'm going to head to the back like I usually do, but I'll give you plenty of room. We're not going to shake hands or anything, and I just want to encourage you as you make your way outside. If you want to visit, it's a beautiful day outside, and it's probably a better place to do it outside and away from others, so we're not all congregating in the back there. But just take your time and wait for those behind you to make their way out first. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.